There's another one in there. We need one more.
It takes us a while to get organized, so in fact, we're going to try to do a song, Time Has Made a Change. And you know, as we get older, our priorities change in life. They should, shouldn't they?
Gone away. Some never seen it before, but I guess it's
I want to try it.
I can hum.
Yes, we do.
Number 318. You all that know it, why, you all sing along with us, and we'll try this if this is on Brother Ralph's part.
Thankful for the good songs. We're going to turn the service over to Brother Lovell at this time. You pray for him as he stands before us. You give attention to the word of the Lord. I love Brother Lovell. Appreciate his ministry, his work in the Lord. So pray for him tonight.
I personally want to welcome each one that has come here tonight. I think about the sweet, sweet service that we had last night. That the Lord richly blessed us. He really did. And I was thinking about some of these songs that we've sang tonight. That I just want to say that thanks to Calvary, that I ain't the man that I used to be. But I also thought of a little old song that the kids sang a lot during Bible school, that he's still working on me. And I guess he's going to have to work on me as long as I'm in this walks of life. You know, I got a blessing last night of hearing Cal that he got saved. But you know, the first night that I stood and I tried to preach a lot of it, I preached to the church and I said, you know, we need to get busy as a church, that we need to be prayerful as a church. And as I was looking last night and I was looking around at the congregation, I believe we got blessed last night because I believe we were busy. I believe that those that, whether it was through testimony, whether it was through a song, or maybe it was through prayer, I believe God used every bit of it last night. And I pray tonight that the Lord will manifest His power once again as He did last night, because the Lord was here. I felt it in my heart. And I know one that felt it in his heart, and that was Kyle. Let's pray for him, that now that he's been saved by the grace of God, that he'll walk that narrow road that he needs to walk, and that he'll be fed, and that he'll be the Christian that God wants him to be. And he'll always look to the Lord for everything that he needs and the help that he needs. I do have a desire for your prayers tonight. As always, I'll never quit asking for them as long as I stand behind this pulpit, because I need them. I'll be reading my lesson tonight from Jeremiah in the 9th chapter, beginning with the 23rd verse. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. But him that glorieth, glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise love and kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcision." And I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to go back to the first verse. And here, Jeremiah, he'd written here that he talked about three different kind of people. And he talked about the wise man, that how the wise man may glory in his own wisdom. And when I thought about this, I thought about the wise man, the ones that came to me that try to glorify their own wisdom, that to me, these that came to mind don't seem to be very smart, if you ask me. That they glorify in their own wisdom because of the knowledge that they think they have. And in my own mind, I got to thinking about, what do you call these kind of people? Now, they call themselves scientists, evolutionists, these that believe in something just happening, not believing in creation. And I thought in my own mind, what do you call these kind of people? Do you call them stupid? Do you call them infidels? Do you call them dimwits? Do you call them unlearned? There's all kind of names that we can think of that we can call these kind of people. But I tell you what the scriptures call them. The scriptures call them fools. Because the things that they teach, the things that they try to believe in, and the things that they try to push on to people, it's foolishness. It's not the truth. But the scriptures call them that they're fools. The 14th chapter of Psalms, the first verse, it says that the fool believeth in his heart that there is no God. So we can call them what we want to, but the scriptures call them fools. Proverbs 18:7 says, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. I don't dislike these people. I don't like what they try to teach. I don't like what they try to tell the world, because it's nothing but lies. I know that. I know that in my heart. You know, they say there is no God, but I experienced that there is a God. Amen. I know that He is real. And then it goes on and it told about those that are mighty. And I got to thinking about these people that are really vain about their own bodies, and they take these steroids and try to pump themselves up and that they might be strong and be mighty. That they depend on themselves and depend on these drugs or whatever it might be that they'll take to be mighty and to be strong. But that ain't the way to go. That ain't the ones that they need to put their trust in. And then we think about the third one that he talked about. He talked about the rich. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being rich. But I thought about the parable that Jesus taught about the man that had so much wealth, and he prospered so that, and his crops, he prospered so much that the barns that he had, the store, man, that he didn't have enough room for them. That he thought, well, I know what I'll do. I'll just tear my barns down and I'll build bigger ones and better ones. That I might be able to put my fruits and my goods in them, that I might have a place to put them. But Jesus went on to tell that he called him a fool also, and said that his life would be required of him that night, that he wasn't going to be able to enjoy these riches that he had. There is nothing wrong to have wisdom, and there's nothing wrong to have knowledge, because the scriptures tell us that wisdom and knowledge is good. If we look to the Lord, here in the scriptures, as we read, Jeremiah says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness. I made mention this morning, just for a few minutes, that you know, we reap benefits. The saved and the lost reap the same benefits in this world as the worldly things. God is kind and God is loving. And he goes on to say that which exercise loving kindness and judgment, he is a just God. He goes on to say, and he says, in righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God gets pleasure and God gets joy in saving people's souls. He says he delighteth in giving righteousness to those that are saved by his grace. He enjoys saving people. He loves saving people, and he's long-suffering. If you're here tonight and you're separated from God, and you know that you're separated from God, God is a loving God, and God is a righteous God, and God is a saving God, and he's wanting to save you. These three people are kinds of people that we talked about. You know, they hold on to the wrong things. They don't look to God and what they need. And he goes on, he tells about, it says, and behold, though, it says, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with uncircumcision. We're not talking about the Jewish right that they had, but we're talking about those, when it talks about the uncircumcised, as those that are unspiritual. It talks about those that are heathens, those that don't believe in the word of God and don't believe that there is a God. That's who the uncircumcised is. Then he says that there's going to be punishment upon you. Punishment upon the lost. Punishment upon the unsaved. You are just as the heathen is because you had never put your trust and your belief in our Lord and Savior. Over here in the Acts. I believe it is the 7th chapter, 51st verse. And here Stephen had been talking and Brother Miller bitched about Stephen here not long ago, about how Stephen was a righteous man and how he was stoned to death because of his preachings and telling about Christ and what he believed in. But Stephen called these kind of people that was uncircumcised. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, in ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Tonight, are you in that category? Are you stiff-necked? Have you become hard-hearted that you try to resist the word of God, resist truth? Lord, help you if you are. Don't be a stiff-necked people. Don't be one that when the Holy Ghost deals with your heart, when he lets you know that you're lost and that you're separated from God, don't be a stiff-necked and reject the word of God. God is a loving God. Jesus is a loving Savior. God said there will be punishment upon those that are uncircumcised. With your unbelief, you are in the same category as what they call the heathens and the heathen nations. Because you are lost and you're separated from God. And he says that you're going to be punished. And there's something you're going to hear a lot in this revival. You know, I'm not one to stand and try to preach what man wants to hear. I try to preach what you need to hear. I try to preach God's word. And I try to preach the truth. And I try to let you know the truth, and sometimes it might be difficult, and I might have trouble trying to explain that to you. But I'm not here to try to please man. I'm here to try to preach God's word. I'm here to try to be a mouthpiece for God to let a lost and dying world know the condition that they're in. And let you know the truth. You know, there's many preachers that will stand and they'll preach and they'll try to preach from God's word, but they won't preach hell to you. All they want to do is preach prosperity and they'll try to preach heaven to you. And you know what? God don't mind you to be able to prosper. He don't mind that at all. But I tell you something. We serve a jealous God. God said he's a loving God, and he wants to save people, but he's also a jealous God. And we know that by turning over here in Deuteronomy. 5th chapter, 8th verse. And this goes with the Ten Commandments that God had given Moses. And this tells me that you know that God is a jealous God. He says, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. He says, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. God's word tells us that he is a jealous God. Then it talked about the graven images, false idols. I think about our lives today, you know, we might not have took and carved a graven image in a piece of wood, or maybe we ain't took and made a graven image out of a stone, or maybe we haven't melt precious metals down and made an image of some kind, like a golden calf. Maybe we haven't done that. But there are things in our lives that we do make images and false idols, that we make them the most important things in our lives. And one of the things that is really a big help to us that I thought about, and I thought about these cell phones. You know, these cell phones, they're pretty handy to have. But I think about these kids anymore, and I say this because I have a granddaughter, grandson, some more of them, that you know what? It seems like they can't go anywhere or do anything that they haven't got this phone stuck in their hand. And I had this crazy image in my mind. Don't ask me why they pop in my mind. I hope the Lord gives them to me. But you know, years ago, we don't do it as often as we used to, but when people used to put up fences, they didn't set fence posts that much because, you know, it was difficult and it was hard to be able to afford to put fences up. So when people would buy fences, they'd run them through the woods and they'd nail them to the trees. That was the easiest and quickest way to put a fence up. And if you get out and you walk around in these woods today and you look where these old fences have been put up, and you look at these trees, the trees have grown around these fences. They've reached in there and they've hugged around it. And don't ask me why, but I had this vision in my head that one of these days, these phones, they're going to hold them in their hands so long that the skin and stuff is going to just start growing around them and you ain't going to be able to get them out. Because I'm telling you, they don't know how to put them down. They ain't going to grow to the ear because these kids nowadays, they text. And why in the world they text, I don't know. But I know adults text too. But I can't text because my fingers are too fat and I don't know how to spell anyway. But what I'm trying to say is that even to these phones, the way they are today, you know, years ago when I was a kid or even growing up, if somebody had a mobile phone, I thought they were rich. But anymore, everybody's got them anymore. And they are handy for us. Years ago, if we needed to call somebody was headed down the road, we had to drive all over the country to try to look for a payphone. Then when we found one, we didn't have a dime to put in it. And we get discouraged sometimes because we're driving down the road because we get a dead spot. We get discouraged. Well, we lost them. We get tore up. We have built our life sometimes around things that ain't really that important, people. These cell phones have become a god and become an image to some of these kids that they can't concentrate on the word of God. But I don't want to just blame it on the kids. Adults are that way too. We have got dependent sometimes on the wrong things. But I ask you in your lives, what are you making your God? What have you made an idol and an image out of that you concentrated on it so much? I don't care if it's TV. I don't care if it's sports events. I don't care if it's going fishing. I don't care what it is. Even our work. Have we made it a God that we're not able to serve and worship the true and living God? The one that Jeremiah told us that he's a loving God, and he's a kind God, and he's a righteous God. He's a saving God. I ask you tonight, who do you put your trust in? What have you put your trust in? And what is it that has got you so blinded that you can't seek the Lord with all your heart? Because a lot of people, the reason I brought these cell phones up, a lot of times they can't wait till they get outside these doors here to see who has texted them or who has called them. Sometimes they even look at them in here in the church. I think they ought to be cut off. And I know sometimes that we make mistakes and we forget to cut them off when we come in here. But that's the least thing that we need to be worrying about and thinking about, is on who's going to call us or who's going to text us. It's a simple thing. But we can't let it get a hold of us, people. And there's other things in this world. We cannot let it get a hold of us. You know, in Timothy, we think about riches and we think about money. You know, it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. But you know what? There's other things in our lives that we can start having a great love of and it becomes evil. There's nothing wrong with having a telephone. They're handy. If we're in an accident, we can call help instantly. They're handy. But also, they can be evil. They can cause problems. And if you listen to the news, you know that. That there's been train wrecks because there's been engineers or operators that were texting or talking on the phones when they should have been doing their job, and it caused people their lives. I've actually been driving down the road myself and been run off the road almost because of a girl going down the road texting. It can be evil, but they can be good. But there's a lot of things in our lives. If we make it our God, it's evil. It's not good for us. But the point that I want to make tonight is give up these things that are not important. Think about God. Think about Jesus. Because I tell you something, sinner friend, if you're lost and you're separated from God, that's the most important thing that you need to think about. I know that there are those that are here tonight that tell me that they've never been saved, that they're lost. And when you talk to them, last night I asked you if there's anybody wanting to go to hell. I told you to raise your hand. Nobody raised your hand. Why? Because I don't think we like to be tormented. I don't think we like to suffer. And that's what hell is. It's a place of torments. It's a place of suffering. I hate to suffer. I hate to be in pain. I don't always go to the doctor like I need to sometimes, but I hate it. And most of us don't like to. That's why we go to doctors. That's why we go and get put in a hospital sometime to take care of our sicknesses and the pain, because we hate suffering. Well, you ain't seen no suffering yet, people. If you die without God, and that you die and go to hell, you ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't experienced nothing yet. You have not experienced pain. We have those that are here that are recovering from surgeries, and I'm glad you're here tonight. But I bet they could tell you that they don't like to hurt, that they don't like to suffer, and they don't like to be in this pain that they're in. But sometimes we have to deal with that in this world. But hopefully a lot of times this pain that we have in this world, that it goes by the wayside. But there's going to be a time, if you die without God, that it's not going to go by the wayside. It's going to be an eternal, everlasting suffering, an everlasting torment. You're not going to find any relief whatsoever. You won't find it. The scriptures tell us it's everlasting. It says there's gnashing of teeth and there's wailing. You know, when we get hurt sometimes or somebody's going to fix something on our fingers. Have you ever gone and had your parents try to pull a splinter out of your hand or do something for you, and as soon as they get ready to pull it, you just start gritting your teeth? Start grinding your teeth? Have you ever got hurt and you just screamed out and hollered with pain? Think about that it won't never pass. That it'll be everlasting pain, everlasting screaming, torments. Let me tell you something. Adults and kids alike. I used to think I was a pretty tough old boy. But I tell you what, when I realized in a minute that I was lost, there was such a fear that set up in my heart. There's such a pain that set up in my heart that I feared of dying, that I feared God. I feared what God could do to me because I knew that He had the power to cast me into hell. The scriptures tell us is don't fear him that can fear, that can kill the body, but there's nothing else that he can do, but fear him that can kill the body, but also has the power to cast into hell. Fear him, that's the one you need to fear. And when you realize that and understand that, you need to seek the Lord. You might can fool me. You might can fool Brother Miller. You might can fool Brother Moran or Brother Rich or Brother Ralph or Brother Mike, any of these other preachers, Brother Roark. We might can come to you and ask you if you've been saved, and you say no, but are you lost? Well, no, I'm not lost either. You might can fool the preachers. You might can fool your mom and dads. You might can fool your brothers and sisters and your husband and wives, but you cannot fool God. God knows. God's an all-knowing God, and He knows all things. And God knows if you are lost or not. You can deny it. It ain't going to help you a bit. You think you can hide from God? You cannot hide from them. You think you can run from them? Yeah, you can run, but it's not going to keep you out of hell. The only thing that's going to keep you out of hell is to come to Him. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. With all your heart. You're going to hear that a lot this week. Because you know, people, we want to see lost souls get saved. And we want you to know the truth. And we want to try to instruct you in the truth and instruct what you need to do. And all we can tell you is seek the Lord to be saved. Trust in Him to be saved. Trust Him with all your heart. But after that, we're basically helpless. There ain't nothing that none of those preachers can do except try to preach the word, the word to you, and to warn you, and to let you know the truth. Put your faith in the Lord. And not of the things of this world. Not in the things that you've made an image out of that you've made it more important in your life. Make Jesus
Make Jesus number one. Look to Jesus. Look to Him that you might be saved. That you might be able to escape that flame, that everlasting flame. That you might escape that torments and that sufferings of hell that's eternal and everlasting. A fire that's unquenchable. It cannot be put out. Sinner friend, you don't have to go there. I'm telling you, you don't have to die without God, because God made a way in His Son. I've done all I can do tonight. And I've done what I felt like what I'm supposed to do. Even though that I feel like I'm weak in doing it, there's nothing else that I can do for you. There's nothing else that nobody in this house can really do for you. When we speak of a personal Savior, that's what we talk about, a personal Savior. Because you got to go one-on-one. It's between you and the Lord and nobody else. Your parents can come and try to pray with you and try to comfort you while you're praying. But they can't save you, people. Kids, they can't save you. Only the Lord can save you. Put your trust in Him. May God help you. May God convict you. May God trouble your heart in a way that it's never been troubled. Thank you for listening to me. We're going to have a song. And whoever's going to lead it, rather brother.